Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. And today's guest is Kelly Lapsaridis. Have I pronounced your last name right?
Yes, you sure did.
Always get that a little bit if I'm getting it right. Thank you for taking the time to come on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I'm honored.
Now, your partner's Kiwani, and he's a Bigfoot expert. I'm actually going to have him on tomorrow. But you yourself, your own person, you've got a lot going on that's been going on for a long time for you. Dabble a little bit into everything. So if I've got this right, I'll just get your bio up, just a little bit of it. And it says that you're clairvoyant. It's just screwing up on me on the screen at the moment. Forgive me for a second. Here we go. Clairvoyant medium, naturalist, life coach, in spiritual life coach, exorcist, lots of stuff to do with herbal and energy and Reiki, attunement and crystals. You've had experiences with extraterrestrials, Sasquatch, angels, ascended masters. This is where we'll talk about just before the show, where this is covered so much. And you're actually working on a book at the moment. Would you mind filling myself and the viewers in on how this started for you, like your journey here, I guess?
Yes, well, really, it started ever since I was real young, but I didn't realize that it was really that different of a kind of phenomenon, something different that everybody else experienced. And as I got older, it's, you know, something that I wasn't really quite as connected to. And as I became a young adult, I, you know, started to become more spiritual once again. But I've always been in contact with different spirits and, you know, spirit guides and my ancestors. And I've also had, you know, many of my own deceased loved ones come to me. And, you know, so it's always just kind of been a part of my life that was never really that unusual. But I'd say close to 3 years ago, I really went through a real spiritual awakening. And that's when, you know, a lot more contact really started for me, where the extraterrestrials really, and the Sasquatch and everything really made themselves very known to me. And, you know, exactly what their message is and what they'd like for me to share with the world. So
can you go into the types of beings, like, just like myself, it's always evolving. There's different types popping in and out that we're communicating with on some level, whether on the astral psychic form or they're physically coming through whatever form. And I give both types just as much validity as each other being an experience of myself. But what's some of the types of beings, or have you got any references that you can describe to us of the types of beings you're interacting with?
Specifically, there's the Sasquatch people, but there's also the ancient ones, which are kind of put into the same category. The ancient ones are more of our ancient ancestors. They were the first humans that were here on Earth. So they're very much like us and, you know, not much different at all, whereas the Sasquatch people are still a part of the hairy giant race, but they're a different kind of tribe of people, you know. And then there's also several different extraterrestrials that I've been in contact. Some of them, you know, are considered ascended masters, like Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And then there's also different extraterrestrial types, like ones, I don't know what they might be called. I know that some of them are like the Nordic type. Mm-hmm. And collectively, they've come to me together and have told me that they were the Arcturians. So they've come to me collectively, but as individuals, they've been from all different races, all different galaxies.
So has the messages from both, or not both, I guess, all types, whether it's the Ascended Masters, the Arcturians, or the different types of Bigfoot or Sasquatch, what's been the messages that they've relayed to you in terms of what your part is in what's going on? Because we've all got a piece in what's going on. We've all got to pull our weight, and there's something going on. And have they relayed to you why it's been you they're interacting with and doing this?
Yes, it's something that I'm still learning, but I have an ancient soul, and so I'm a part of this, and this is something that I agreed to come into this body and to help others at this time. And so they've explained that all to me, but I have different missions, and I work with different beings in different ways, you know, but their general message altogether is just the message of love and respect and, you know, for our Mother Earth and for each other. And that's the general message. But, you know, like I said, that's what the Sasquatch people especially focus on. And there's lots of different spiritual messages that have been given by different beings, but it really all just boils down to love. As well as different shamanic practices is what the Sasquatch people have taught me. But then some of the extraterrestrials have taught me different types of healing work and different energy work. And, you know, I've also done, they've harvested some of my eggs and they've used some of my DNA. They've told me that my blood type especially, but my DNA is something that they use, you know, to create the new humans.
What
new
blood type
Earth.
Have you got?
AB negative.
All right, yep.
Yeah.
I've got RH positive, I think. I've just found that out, actually. I've got it written down somewhere. I was just interested in that. It's very similar. I've got hybrid kids, and it's very similar what you're saying in terms of the overall, what you're describing with the experiences and what's going on there. How was this for you when you were younger? Like, obviously, it's built up, and as you said, and the same was for me in the last, since about 2010 is when it really picked up for myself. Mm-hmm. The crafts coming in, I started feeling, just wondering what's going on. I had memories, but they're basically dormant. But when you were younger, how did you sort of deal with your abilities and being in tune in terms of, did your family think you were nuts? Did they just go, oh, that's just Kelly, just, you know, being Kelly? Or, you know, because that was what it was like with me. I'm very hypo, and I shut up about a lot of it because I thought, if I tell them what I've just seen, they're going to go, that's just Pete being hypo. That's, you know what I mean?
Right.
So,
yeah, it's actually, I'm pretty sure that I've heard that many times. That's just Kelly being Kelly. So, yeah, that was one thing. But I also didn't talk about a lot of my experiences because I knew that they were very personal to me. If there was a few people that I shared it with that I felt close to, and they didn't quite believe me. And I think that turned me off from really wanting to share more because I knew it was personal for me and it really mattered to me. And so that's all that really mattered. But I did, of course, tell my parents a few different things and they didn't believe me on a few things. And then they also just, you know, I guess attributed it to an overactive imagination. But, you know, as I got older, like I said, I guess I just realized some of the things I just thought everybody experienced. I didn't know they were anything to talk about, you know. So
what were some of the types of things that happened when you were younger? Were you just waking up to weird beings in your room or having like thought transfer or telepathy type things going on? What were some of the things, telltale signs?
I was able to telepath with different animals, not all animals, but especially cats I was real close with. But I could do it with some that I just felt a connection to, as well as I also just I would see energy, I guess is the way to put it. I could feel people, you know, by looking at them, I could read their energy. As well as also visits from ghosts, mm-hmm. Which were harmless and they were just letting me know of their presence. And, you know, I always felt like they were just there to comfort me. It wasn't any kind of real message, just the comforting feeling. And, you know, and then also as far as the extraterrestrials went, I saw lights and I would see ships. But I didn't really regain my memory of having contact with extraterrestrials until I became an adult. And they actually told me that that's something that they suppressed because I would have really freaked out. You know, they said if you were to remember everything all at once, you would be in a mental institution.
Yeah,
so
I agree. I 100% agree with that, yeah.
Right. So it's a gradual learning of me, of who I am and my past and my mission.
And it's like it continues on, doesn't it? Like each day there's something new that comes up with it. I've seen that like on your bio you said you do exorcism type of stuff. How did you – because the same with myself, I go and help people clear their homes. I've been to a lot of haunted locations or ask for validity if there's anything going on at these locations. So it all interconnects the paranormal, the ghost, poltergeist, you know, with the E-team. It's all interconnected. What's some of the things that got you into the exorcism side and the paranormal side of things? And can you tell us any sort of experiences you've had there that sort of stay in your mind that was?
Oh, there's been so many. I didn't choose it. It chose me. It's just something that I had a natural ability to do. When I was younger, I was a little afraid of it because I was thinking, oh, dead people, you know, which is kind of scary for a kid. But, of course, as I got older, I came to realize these are just people. These are spirits. I guess one of my most memorable circumstances, which it actually, I was the third party to it, but this is what really got me involved in it, is it was an acquaintance that had passed away about 5 years before. It's a gentleman I had met one time, I think. He was a friend of a friend. And several years later, his sister found me and said, look, I'm a bit of a psychic myself. She said, my brother keeps coming to me in dreams and telling me your name. I don't know why, but I know that basically this is your location, this is your name. So she searched on Facebook and she found me. And she's like, I don't know, you know, what it is that he wants. And when she said that, I was able to, I retrieved a picture of him. I knew right where it was at and I looked at it and I could, he spoke to me and he told me what he wanted me to do for his sister and his family. And so I did that. And that's how I basically got started. And that opened me up and allowed more, you know, maybe it was the ghosts kind of whispering to each other, hey, you know, there's another girl that can do this or something. But, you know, that's how they really started coming to me. And exorcism isn't really quite what you think of. It's not like the movie The Exorcist and, you know, scary things like that.
Spinning around and vomit everywhere. And
right. Yes. No, I wouldn't get involved in anything like that. But it's helping lost souls, basically. Just people like you and me that have died and their soul is stuck here in a realm that they don't want to be stuck in. They can't advance and they can't move forward. And for whatever reason it is, they might have an attachment to a person or, you know, their karma has kept them here for one reason or another. It's possible they may not even realize that they're dead, you know, for one reason or another. And so that's what exorcism is. I help these souls go to where they need to go or to, you know, do whatever they need to do. And, you know, that's basically what it is. I also help some people that have spirit attachments to exercise those as well, or, you know, any other type of entities, although I don't work with the dark realm, so to say. You know, I would tell them.
So hopes of clearing, I guess.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. That's what it is. And basically it all boils down to energy because that's what we're all made up of. And so that's how you exercise that is through energy.
Yep. Higher energy and anything that doesn't resonate with it, it gets out soon enough. And it actually helps them move on too. If, you know, if they're wanting that on another level as well, because they've still got a higher self when in that plane as well, which, you know, there's different levels of it all, yeah.
It is, because otherwise they're just stuck here and can't go anywhere else. They can't, you know, really enjoy life once again the way that they want to. So help them return home. So
yeah, that's what I say to people. Like, do you want to just fix the problem for yourself, or would you rather fix the reason why it's happening, which is it's got to do with the spirit and where they're at? And I think it's more helpful just to help them move on, and you can sort of hit two birds with the one stone, so to speak, in in knocking things over when you do it that way.
Right.
As things have progressed, as you said, like a few years ago, you had your awakening, I guess we could say. Would you mind going into how that happened in terms of you've always been having some dialogue or something going on in terms of experiences, paranormal, psychic abilities? What was the clincher, the thing, the mechanism just went bang to go your full force with what you're doing now? What happened, if you can tell us, to make that play out how it has?
Right. Let's see. Well, it began as a gradual awakening, you know, where it was just my thought process began to change. And, you know, I became a mother, and as he got older, I learned that he shows the symptoms of autism. So that made me really rethink my whole role in life also, and it opened me up to real unconditional love and acceptance and understanding and respect. So all of that really played a part in it. And then I suppose it really happened within a little 2 to 3 day period, all around the doomsday time, you know, on, let's see, what was the date? On 12/12/12, as a matter of fact, I had a dream that evening about my husband, but I had no idea who he was. I had no clue who he was, other than, well, that I shouldn't say I had no clue who he was. I never had spoken to him. I still had not read his book or anything, but a friend had told me his name, and I had seen his photograph, and so that's how I knew that it was him in my dream. But I was outside hiking. I was waiting in front of a cave entrance, and in the dream, he just came out of the cave and said, "Kelly," and, you know, so that kind of grabbed my attention. I looked, and he said, you know, "Follow me. I have something to show you." I was like, "Ah," you know, and in real life, it would be like, "Oh, yeah, that's quite a line," you know, but I really, in the dream, I just followed him without questioning who it was. I knew that's a part of who I was. I needed to go. And so it was just a short, simple dream, but it was so powerful and so real, so meaningful to me, you know, and it was really eating away at me. The next day, I had a major, my most biggest yet extraterrestrial contact, and it really shook me up. I was just going to sleep, but I wasn't yet asleep. I just laid down in bed, and a UFO had come over the house. The it sounded kind of like helicopters, but it wasn't. I could see the huge light outside. It was nothing a helicopter would do. And then it shook so bad that I had a sliding glass door in my bedroom, and it was rattling the glass, and it even shook a picture off the TV in my bedroom. So I wasn't imagining it. I mean, something was out there. But I was completely frozen to my bed. I couldn't get up. I wanted to get up and see what was going on, and I couldn't move. And then I felt the presence of somebody in the room tell me just to calm down. We're here to help you, and we'll just be a moment kind of thing. And, you know, so I did feel a calm, but at the same time, I was just shaking and vibrating from whatever they were doing to me. I felt a very obvious, they were very obviously in my cervix. And so that made me really nervous. I didn't know what was going on, but they calmed me and reassured me. As soon as I had a nervous thought, it just immediately went away with, "It's okay, this is supposed to be," you know. And so the next day is, you know, I was just, I knew what had happened, and I guess at that moment was the real moment of my spiritual awakening. And, you know, that I knew I was a part of something much bigger, and I wanted to find out more answers. And so the next day I called Kiwani for the first time, and he just opened up a lot for me. Like I said, at that point, I still hadn't even read his book yet. I had purchased it, was you know, wanting to read it, but I still hadn't, and I didn't even know why I was calling him, but he helped me a lot on a spiritual level because he could tell that I was really overwhelmed with the things that I was experiencing, and especially with the night before, you know, and so he just helped me a lot there, and we began a friendship, although we weren't in contact. I think maybe we would talk once a month for the first several months, you know, just kind of a mentor thing. And so during that whole time, really, though, I was really going through a huge spiritual awakening. And about a month later, well, the Sasquatch people, right around the same time, began telepathing with me as well. I was spending a lot of time in the woods. I lived in the Ozarks at the time in Arkansas. Yeah, yeah. And yes, it's beautiful, and I love to hike. And, you know, so I was spending more time out in nature and really enjoying that. And I started to really feel the presence of the Sasquatch people. And then they began telepathing to me right around the same time, you know, in December 2012. All that started hitting around the same time, and just over the next few months, it just continued to grow, and it still does today.
It's a never-ending process, as you know. It just every day there is something. Yeah. Whether you're seeing wispy stuff in the corner of your eye, or smoky stuff, or orbs. Now, with the crafts, it's good that you bring that up, because there's many different types of ways the crafts and the beings do what they do, but we've had the crafts land on the house, how you're describing. When I take people out to see the crafts, we've had the crafts land on us like that, and they sort of look like an apparition if you walk out of it and look back. Mm-hmm. Sort of like definition.
Yes.
The sound that you were describing, like a helicopter, how I describe it is almost like the windy sound. Instead of a thud that you get with the helicopter, it's silence. So it's like a whiny noise and then silence. Mm-hmm. Whiny noise. Yes. So it's like a chug, chug.
Yes.
And sometimes I feel like I'm going on a roller coaster, and then they'll pull me into their realm, even though they're just over me, like I'm in their craft.
Yeah,
they'll sort of vibrate me into their vibration, and then you'll just be put back. But it's very important that you've brought that up, because there's so many experiences that have gone through that, but yet they won't hear it from other experiences, because some people are like, they're not going to believe if I say this. They will believe lights in the sky and a little grimy room, but they're not going to believe if I go there. So I'm glad you've brought that up, because that's a very important point with all this.
I suppose
stuff with Bigfoot as well. So go on, sorry.
Oh, well, no, I was just going to say that I suppose different ships make different sounds, you know, whatever scout ships or whatever they're coming to do, because I've also heard them sound a lot like an airplane type sound, you know, sometimes where it's choppy sounding like a helicopter like you described, and sometimes where it almost sounds like an airplane, other times where it's almost kind of like a train sound, and most of the time, actually, they're silent. So
yeah, most of that's the thing that got me. I sometimes heard like a static electric sound, and there was one incident where it sounded like a Tibetan singing bowl. And other times it's been like a weird hum. So, yeah. But a lot of the time, like you're saying, it's just completely silent. There's nothing that you could really pick up on. I guess it depends on the types of beings. With that incident, do you have an idea of what type of race it was, or types of beings that were part of that night with what happened? Do you know if it was the Arcturians or who it was that night that did that?
There was a Sasquatch woman there. Her name is Suni. And then there was also an extraterrestrial named Jai, J-A-I is how he spelled it. And he looked completely human to me. But there was also I could see them just like they were there physically. I could see them. But interdimensionally, there was also another E.T. alien that was doing the work on me, and I believe that he was just a typical gray type alien, or that's, you know, I could see kind of through him, but couldn't really distinguish a real, you know, facial characteristics or a color or anything like that, but it reminded me of just what you would think of a typical gray alien.
Yeah, was it what color was it? Was it gray, or was it a wispy white color, or...
That one, it was see-through, basically. Yeah. He was interdimensional, so I couldn't really see a color. He was more like a fog, or
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I mean by wispy, yeah.
Almost like water. Almost like water, I suppose. You could see his form, but he was just see-through, yeah.
So where have things gone from that experience? Like, is continued on now? You're with Kiwani, and you've got your thing going on. My partner is a psychic and experiencer also. And since we've been together, it's like we've elevated each other, and we're aligning like the male and female energies. But a hell of a lot more activity happens, and it's like everything's uplifted. Have you experienced that, where it's not just your personal life or your experiences? It's like with the kids, every facet, everything's elevated.
Yes, yes, definitely. We've definitely experienced that. And it was actually the universe and the Sasquatch people that really brought us together. They told us that we're twin flames, that we're the same soul that's been apart, you know, for thousands of years, but that we always find our way back to each other. We're astrological opposites. We're completely opposites on the zodiac, which is very powerful, down to the day, actually. And so that's, very powerful connection there. Not to mention that we've also had so many random psychics tell us the same kind of thing. Just, you know, wow, the two of you together is, you know, just this incredible energy. But the Sasquatch people, they really played Cupid in all of that, because we were both very hesitant. Neither one of us were ready or interested in anything like that. And, not to mention we were 2,000 miles apart and the age difference. And,
very similar to mine, so that's funny.
Exactly, and I have, my son to think about, of course, too. So I was like, both of us were like, I don't see how this could work, you know, and even if we, how would we even get to know each other well enough to make this work, you know? But it was just so funny how it really all came together. It was another dream that I had that made me, that basically they were telling us that we were soulmates, and I knew I had to share that dream with him, even though I didn't want to. I didn't know him well enough to, you know, say anything personal like that. But sure enough, as soon as I did, it started coming from all different kinds of directions. My guides kept telling me, his guides were telling me, and not to mention there were several other contactees throughout the world. There was two in Canada, one in, I don't know if it was Spain or Portugal, somewhere over there. And then, you know, a few in the U.S. of different contactees that Kiwami was in contact with. They were contacting him and saying, look, my Sasquatch guy just gave me a message to give to you and saying that you and Kelly would be really great together. And, you guys are meant to be, kind of thing. And so he was really overwhelmed with that. And he was hesitant to tell me that because, but it really all came together beautifully. And, they had to work hard to try to match us up, but it worked. And we sure are glad that, we did finally meet and come together. And, it's just wonderful. As soon as we met, we knew instantly. It was, just instant familiarity. We knew that we had known each other all our lives.
That's been very similar with my partner and myself. So it's just one of those things that had to play out. She was 2,000 kilometres away, and I was in I just moved 2,000 kilometres to the top part of Australia. She came up to visit myself and Mary Rodwell and a few others, and then we hit it off. And next thing I know, I'm in the car driving 2,000 kilometres back down to Melbourne. And she's an experiencer also, and it just, she's got kids as well, but it all just lined up. It all just lined up. And as you know, it's just all pre-planned. It's just all the, how would you say, the path that they make you go on, you just got to walk that path for it all to mesh in it, and the timing and everything to fit together. And you're like, why didn't this happen earlier? But you just sort of work out that everything, the timing's perfection in how it's done.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's And that's what's happening right now in a lot of, you know, in a lot of places is twin flames are hooking up and it's time that those energies reunite again.
Yes.
And it's happening all over the planet. So many people are doing it now. And the stories, like your story and my story, I keep on hearing this, just the synchronicities in the stories of how these people meet up.
Right.
You go, this should be a movie within itself because it's, you can't make this up. Have you noticed that yourself?
Oh, yes. Yes, I have. I've had a lot of people tell me the same thing, too, or, you know, that we're such an inspiration to them for whatever reason, and now they're experiencing it. But it's happened to two of my very good friends at the same time, too. So, it's wonderful.
It is wonderful because everyone starts to go on their own journey. They're happy, they're complacent, but they're still evolving, and, you know, everything sort of gets ramped up, like I was saying. So,
exactly. Yeah, and I've been told that this is a time where we're getting back together with our twin flames and everything like that, even if we've spent hundreds or thousands of years apart, because now is when we need to, you know, we need to join our energy forces to be, you know, the best that we can be. And the earth is changing and we are going through this major change. So the most highly evolved beings are going to evolve into this new earth. So in order to be at their highest vibration, the twin flames need to be together. So that's how everybody's finding each other once again. Yeah.
That's very important. What would you like to go into with that type of thing, with information and knowledge and I guess downloads and psychic stuff that you've being given knowledge on, like, for example, the New Earth and some of this twin flame stuff? Can you elaborate, or is there other things you'd like to go into that you could share with the audience and the viewers?
Yes, well, it's a continuous, you know, I'm constantly getting information and downloads, as you say, and it's funny, actually, because that's the exact word that I use, because that's exactly what it's like. It's, you know, it's like reading 100 books at once all mm-hmm. of a sudden. And but one of the things that they just recently shared with me the other day is kind of an explanation as to going into this new earth and, you know, the way that people are envisioning how it's going to work. And basically we want most humans want to save our planet and save humanity. And we know that with positive thinking and action that, you know, we can make big changes. But they have told me that this is written in the stars and in the chart that this is going to occur regardless of how our collective consciousness changes. We are going to move into a new earth. And our current earth is beyond the point of fixing, you know, so there will be a lot of lives lost. But we're these evolved souls that are helping humankind and keeping positive thoughts and everything like that. They're going to evolve into this new earth, which is basically another dimension, but it's parallel here to our earth. So while we're right next to all of this death and destruction, we can't be touched by it because we'll be a part of the new earth. But the old earth is going to see us as us gone. You know, like they talk about the rapture. We will, anybody that's going to go to the new earth will physically not be here, won't be seen by the people that are going to be staying here on the old earth. So, you know, they showed me all of this in a series of pictures. So it's hard for me to even kind of put into words what I've seen.
Would you mind if I shared with you what I've experienced with the new earth?
Sure.
Because I've wrote about this in a few of my books, and it keeps on being very similar to what you're saying and a lot of people are saying. One thing very similar to what I've seen, what you're talking about, very much similar. One thing that I was shown, but was, for example, like, and I've explained this before to a lot of people, and you'd know this anyway, but just say this is the oversoul, the higher self, and we're living all these different lives at the same time. One of these lives of mine is still in Orion, and it had to split itself up to come into the human body because the energy is hot. And it's actually like that with a large majority of people here at this time, from what I've been told.
Yes.
And what I was shown was that those who are ready to go to the new earth, which is where you're saying, their spirit will split up from the human body and go to the new earth, and they could either die here or live out their time here. So basically, even right now, they're on the new earth unbeknownst to them while in the human body computer. Do you sort of understand that? Does that fit with anything that you've been shown at all?
Yes, yeah, that makes sense, because that everybody has different soul elements is what I've, you know, what they've been referred to as these soul elements, which are basically different lives, different people that you are. And so some people only have one, or some people might have 20, you know, but yes, what you said, that does make sense, and that goes right around the same lines as that. And I do know that, you know, lots of times we can communicate with our different, with our soul elements, which is our higher self. So when we just think it's our consciousness, I mean, no, a lot of times that's our higher self, or maybe our ancient ancestor, or whoever that soul element is. It doesn't necessarily have to be a living being in this time. Because really there is no time. Most of the time these soul elements are very ancient souls. Ancient
wise souls,
yes.
I agree with that. Have they elaborated on sort of some more of the, I guess we could say, catastrophes or what's going to be part of this shift from what you understand, like in terms of, I guess, Earth changes or galactic plane changes with where we are in galactic plane or anything along those lines?
Well, see, that can actually change from what I understand, but as far as I know, the Earth will experience a pole shift, and it's going through it right now. We've already gone into this photon belt, and the poles are already shifting. I mean, it's, I think, snowing in Florida right now, you know, and I'm here in Washington. It's 50 degrees, so... you know, the poles are flipping, and so what that entails, I don't exactly know. I know that the devastation here on Earth will be great, and it'll be a lot of natural disasters, you know, earthquakes and volcanoes and things like that, but I don't know what all it's going to entail or where. I just know that it will occur, but I also know that I'll be safe from it. So, you know, I don't like to focus on any of the negative things. I know that it's going to happen, and, you know, it's good to warn people of that, but you always want to focus on the positive and the future and the bright side of things. So.
Definitely. And keep with that vibration of things, because you'll attract that and manifest that also. Have they showed you or have you seen anything of the new Earth, like astrally in your mind, or has there been any projections of it to you?
Yes, I have. I've seen different areas that kind of look almost underground, actually. I've seen a part of the new Earth that where it had mountains, but the mountains almost looked like glass. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there was all kinds of different flowers around, and there were flowers and colors that I've never even seen. They don't even exist. You know, it was just really beautiful. I can't really put it into words because it's different than anything that we're really familiar with here. But then I've also seen a part that is underground, and it's all of these different homes or apartments, or I'm not sure what they are, but they're built in to the ground, and it's lighted with some kind of natural lighting. I also saw a river flowing in there that was colorful. It was all different colors of the river, and and the Sasquatch people were actually weaving like lattices all around it for, you know, they might have had a purpose, or maybe just for decoration because they were beautiful, you know. But, you know, so those are just little glimpses that I've gotten. And more than what it looks like is what it felt like, you know, because when I was there, when I experienced it, I experienced it in full, where I could feel the energy of, of what the new earth is like, and it's beautiful. It's beyond words. It's a wonderful harmony, and you know, just the whole earth's vibration makes like a song, a beautiful song almost, just because mm-hmm. everything is so in balance. So it's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah. And it's just funny, like some of the people following the shows, they'll know how many times this new earth keeps on being brought up. So it's just funny that people that we haven't spoken until today, we spoke for a couple of minutes just before the show, and it keeps cross-correlating, and I guess we're all backing each other up saying similar stuff. So it's just another person with, you know, who's had their experience with this.
Mm-hmm.
What's some of the stuff that's happened lately with your experiences? Can you go into some either the Bigfoot stuff or some of the extraterrestrial sort of dialogue, or how are the experiences happening for yourself at the moment? Mainly like a download component or astrally or?
Yes, they're here astrally all the time. They tell Kiwani and my son and I how much they love us, and they're always here, you know, protecting and guiding us. They haven't really given any prophetic things, you know, here lately, other than just letting us know that they're here. The other day, actually, for whatever reason, one of Kiwani's main guides is an ancient one named Snowhawk, and he's blonde, and he's always here. And he's pretty jovial. Sometimes he just kind of like jokes around with us or something like that. But the other day we were about to leave, and he said, "You need to stay here for 15 more minutes," you know, and he was very serious about it. And, you know, so it's just kind of like, okay, you know, I'm not going to, whatever. I don't know the reason, but I guess I don't need to, because for whatever reason, if I have to, they want me to stay here 15 minutes, it's for my own good.
Yeah.
So we did. And, you know, of course it was uneventful, but I suppose, you know, who knows what might have happened if we had. You know, we live here in this area. We're really surrounded by wilderness. But we met somebody a couple weeks ago that has property right on one of the ley lines that the Sasquatch had showed me, right where it runs through. And so we've been wanting to visit this area, but it's all private property. And so we met a man that's like, "Come on out. We see Sasquatch and spaceships all the time." So we went out there, and it was covered in snow, of course, so we couldn't venture too far off, you know, but I mean, they were there, their energy was there. Actually, Haloti, who Kiwani mentions in his book, she was from the Oklahoma area, but she had moved up here, and because for whatever reason, wherever she was at was not safe, or maybe it was just time to move. I don't really know the details. But when we got on the property, she was there. I heard her singing, and she told us, you know, that she was there and explained how, since we're on this ley line, that they're able to do instant travel anywhere they want to on this line. So it's like the whole line is like a portal, and they can instantly travel 500 miles within an instant, as long as they're on this line. So yeah, so that was something, you know, really amazing that we just learned too. And you know, but here around the house, they just tell us that they're always protecting and guiding us. And shortly after we moved in here, they actually opened up a portal in our backyard for easier access, kind of thing. And so that was real great. And they couldn't actually make it all of the way into our yard, because we have electric lines that cross the yard. And so they told us, "Oh, well, we're going to have to come interdimensionally," because they prepared us ahead of time so that we could get a good look at them. And then they realized, "Oh, no, we can't do it that way." So
do it that way. You've got to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That's amazing. And like having Kiwani on the show too, it's just opens up a lot of people. There's been a lot of good feedback about having him on the show with the Bigfoot side of things, because he's explained and elaborated a lot on his experiences and some things that people have wondered about them. And this is where you're having the same – you're with him you've been having your own experience beforehand. You're having them mm-hmm. together now. You're able to have, you know, have some dialogue still going on with them. Is most of the time, is it astrally it's going on and just telepathy, isn't it? But they will phase in sometimes if it's safe to do so. Is that correct?
Yes. Most of the time, I suppose it's more of a feeling telepathy more than anything. Sometimes I can hear their voice, but most of the time it's just kind of spoken through my higher self. It kind of comes through as my own consciousness. But I can tell that by the way that I thought it, because I'll think it in words that are words that I won't even use. You know, if it's something that's coming directly from them. A lot of times, because of the type of thinker I am, I'm a very visual person. So a lot of times they just show me stuff in pictures. I see movies in my head, basically. And, you know, and that's them showing their message. That's how they teach a lot of different shamanic practices to me and things like that, just to raise our vibration and things that I can do to help other people, because I have a lot of people coming to me just for consultation as they're awakening and as they're starting to have experiences and everything like that. And so I'm able to take from what they're teaching me and help other people while at the same time raising my vibrations.
So. Is there anything you could say to the people watching this sort at the moment in terms of energetically where we're at, sort of tips and tools for themselves to walk in their own power more at the moment? Just anything that comes to mind?
The best thing to do is just to stay positive and to have trust and faith that it's really all going to work out. You know, walk in love and really think in terms of unconditional love. It's so easy to hate and to judge, and I don't even like to use the word hate, but you know, to judge or to make comparisons from one to the next and things like that, and none of that's necessary. Everybody is equal in the eyes of God. Nobody is better than another, and we need to look at each other as such and look at these different circumstances. You know, it doesn't matter what you wear or what you drive or what job you have. You know, you're made up of flesh and blood just like the next person. You have a soul just like the next person. And so it just helps to look at everybody and everything as an equal and to love them regardless. When you want to say damn it, instead say bless it. And it really changes your whole outlook on it. It really does. You know, and that's just the way to think and just see everything in their highest light is the best thing that I can advise. And when you do that and when you think positively, you know, then you're changing yourself, you're changing your energy and your vibrations, and you're changing all of the people around you. You have way more of an influence than you know.
And it does work. Like, you attract like-minded. It was funny because I did a show yesterday with Trisha Kelly, and she was talking about – I recommend anybody watching this to watch the show, because this lady's been around the world, and the synchronicities of being in another country and somebody she knows from another country walking in, it was just crazy synchronicity. But I was at the shopping centre yesterday, and I'm sitting with my partner going, we're looking for picture frames, because one of our friends, Valeska, drew this beautiful ET drawing for us. And we wanted to go and get a picture frame. And I'm in some sort of reject $2 store type of place. And I'm going, we need a friggin' measuring tape. And a lady out of nowhere goes, I've got one. It was just like a call on demand, measuring tape. Bang, here you go. You know what I mean? These are the things where you're thinking on a different vibration and anything is possible. Well, that can manifest into your reality. And it will happen more and more the more that you resonate on a higher thought plane of being positive. So, you know, it's just funny how that all works out. You yourself, you're talking before that you've done some healing. You do healings, and I guess some of the types have been taught to you by other extraterrestrial type beings. But you also use crystals and do Reiki type healing as well. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, I don't do it really that much for the public. You know, it's usually it just depends. It's not something that I do quite that often, but more for personal use and, you know, other people, but there's different crystals that help with different things. A quartz crystal is really the purest thing, and it's really one of the most preferred stones by the Sasquatch people I know. They told me when I lived in Arkansas in the Ozarks that they especially loved that area, you know, because of the quartz there, and that they do mining, and they do a lot of work with crystals.
What do they use crystals for specifically? Like, is there certain things you could go into for what they actually use the crystals for?
I don't know specifically, but I think that in part it's for healing. I know that it's for energy because it, you know, emits an energy. So it's for energy healing and everything like that. But I also think that they have a lot more advanced technologies that I'm not really quite aware of. But I think I'm almost positive that they use it in some kind of different machinery, different equipment that they have for different kinds of technologies. You know, but even, you know, you read about ancient cultures that have been unearthed and everything like that, and you can find all kinds of different things made out of crystal. So, you know, they're very powerful. So whatever reason that it is, I know that, well, they also told me that the there's a lot of limestone in the Arkansas area that I lived, and they said that that was a big reason why there was a different, especially paranormal activity that's been reported, or that the veil is thinner, I guess, in areas where the limestone is. And so, you know, that's why people catch glimpses of the Sasquatch or report fairies or, you know, whatever the it might be around areas where there's limestone.
There's lots of sightings, but over, like, every week I'm hearing something new in America of sightings with Bigfoot throughout America. We've got a bit going on here, but it's sort of more scarce in Australia. I guess the population's only 24, 25 million, but compared to 300 and something million in America. But there's activity worldwide, and there's different types of Bigfoot and Yetis, whatever people would like to term them as, or the ancient ones. It's just, does it seem like just crazy to you guys when you hear about people getting in these Bigfoot suits and faking stuff or purposely faking videos? Like for me, I get so pissed off when I see fake video footage of crafts because I know what I know and I know this is real, but it's like you're making a mockery of myself and my comrades in trying to help humanity and show you another way. Is it done that often in the States as well? Because I do come across a video every now and then that you just know is dodgy, but then there's stuff where you go, well, there's something to it.
It is. I mean, I just try to ignore it, or I get something and I'll look at it and I can just instantly tell that it's fake. Or sometimes even they'll be watching or, you know, listening interdimensionally and you'll hear them start laughing, you know, because it just looks so ridiculous. But yeah, it happens around here. People in suits and people faking videos and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I don't know what their reasoning is, I guess just for attention or because they think that it's going to be fun, but it does discredit, you know, a lot of that. But one of the things that the Sasquatch have also mentioned too, they repeatedly tell me, you know, who cares? You know the truth, and the people that are going to know the truth are going to know the truth. So you don't have to have proof and videos and samples and I mean, science is just something that man invented. We're just trying to
it needs to catch, you know, up too if it wants to.
Exactly. It's good to have, you know, of course, and it really does, it helps us and it backs up a lot of different things. But when it comes to spiritual phenomenon and things that can't be explained outside of the earth and our universe here, then, you know, they discredit it when it's the most important thing in the world. So, you know, I just try not to pay too much attention to news reports because
they play it out too.
Right.
in America, how sort of, I guess, even now we look at sort of, I forget what they're called, or polls, I guess, you hear on UFOs, and there's more people believing than not believing. How sort of accepted is Bigfoot in America in terms of just the average Joe? If you went to some small town or, you know, wherever you went, is it sort of the same with UFOs? Is sort of like a at least, you know, a 50-50 sort of thing going on with, you know, people going, oh, well, Bigfoot could exist, you know? How accepted
is it? It's hard to say. You know, it's really, I think it's a lot more accepted now than it was even 5 years ago. So, you know, it really is making a lot of different advancements. We have come up with different proof, and people are now being more exposed to these amazing crop circles and things. I mean, how else can you explain something like that? A man didn't do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so there has been a lot more good proof that are changing people's minds in that direction and everything like that. But it's really, it's a personal thing, and it depends on your own personal level of consciousness, whether you're going to believe it or not. I mean, ever since I was a little girl, I believed in UFOs and Bigfoot and fairies and all of that. And, you know, everybody, no, those are just, you know, fairy tales. They don't exist. And no, I knew the truth, so I wasn't going to let anybody convince me otherwise. But, you know, I wasn't going to publicly pretend that I was, you know, experiencing all kinds of different things either. You know, but like I said, it really depends on each individual's level of consciousness, whether they're going to believe in it or not. And at this point, if they don't believe in it, it's almost too late.
Yeah, it's like get with the program or get left behind sort of thing.
Right, because there's just overwhelming evidence now that spirituality exists, and that, you know, thoughts are things, and, you know, that we're able to manifest everything in our lives and, you know, change anything in our lives and the universe and all of that. So either you understand that or you don't. So same thing with UFOs and Bigfoot. Either you believe or you don't. Either your mind is open or it's not. And until that person has their own personal experience, there's probably no way to change their mind. You know?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And this is where, it's, you know, imagination is creation as well, people have got to realize. And it is that simple. But one thing that gets me, like, I just want to ask you this too, because I don't know this, but I've listened to some, like, old shows of Art Bell, like Coast to Coast. And he goes off at, like, there's been a couple of times he's told people, I don't know why you'd do that, but do people really hunt for Bigfoot in America with guns, like as if they want to go and kill it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. I don't – I've never watched one of those shows, but
it's
I know that –
actual shows that do that, hunt them with guns?
Oh, yeah.
Guns.
Oh, yeah. There's a I heard that there's a show now called Killing Bigfoot, but there was one called Hunting Bigfoot, I think, and then Bigfoot Hunters or – oh, Finding Bigfoot. I can't remember, actually, because I haven't watched them. But, yes, there's several of these shows. And, yes, people do go out trying to hunt and kill them for proof or for money or for whatever reason that they have. But, you know, their vibrations are so low and they are so – their level of consciousness is – they're just so unaware of anything that they really think that this is like a mythological monster animal that's – I can't even imagine what they're thinking, you know, but they're people. Yeah. And they don't look at it as anything that has a right. And from my understanding, a lot of these people that are hunting Bigfoot don't believe in him to begin with. They're just – going along with it for the joke or to go on TV or something, you know?
Well, you know, and another sort of thing is why people wonder why they don't reveal themselves. Well, bloody hell, you know, that's crazy, isn't it? It just shows what, you know, some people are vibrating at, and that's just a shame really for their part, their own involvement, isn't it, that type of thing. But I just thought I'd ask, because I was like, is people really going out there chasing it with a gun and just looking for it, you know what I mean? So no wonder they're not revealing themselves on that level.
Yes, exactly. Well, they're never going to catch one. Because no. I'll tell you what, the big guys are a lot smarter than they are, and that, they're not going to let that happen.
It's like the trail cam thing. Mick Harrison, who I've had on the show, who's an experienced like myself with Bigfoot as well, like you said, you know, that they could be standing right next to you when you're putting the trail cam up and just going, yes. You know, they know. They know what's
exactly.
going on.
Exactly.
Now, we'll wrap it up in a minute. Is there anything you'd like to leave the viewers with? Now, that underneath the video in the description part, there's a link to, I think it's psychicsasquatch.com, and there's a bio there with you, which is where they'll be able to get the book whenever it's released, because you've got a book coming out in some time. Would you mind just going over that quickly about your book or anything you can tell us at the moment about it?
Yes, well, it's still really just a work in progress. I actually scratched my first two versions of it because it wasn't quite right. So I'm working on it again right now. And, you know, the more that I'm learning, the more that I know, you know, needs to be included in there. So it's going to touch on my personal experiences as well as, you know, some different messages from different guides and also experiences of others that have been related to me. And, you know, mainly the focus is going to be the message that my guides want me to get out, whatever the Sasquatch people and the ETs want me to relay, which is going to be, you know, a message to humanity and tips on how, you know, they can also be the best person they can be and evolve into a higher light.
Awesome stuff. Yeah. We'll wrap it up there. Again, there's links to the website where this will be available as well. And thank you so much for coming on the show. Like you said, it'll be cool to get you both on sometime. I'll have to wake up a bit early for that, but we will do that sometime in the future because people don't realise, especially in the UK, I have to usually get up pretty early to get the shows done over there because of the time difference. So
right.
America sort of works out very well for me, or Australia, if people are here as well. But Kelly, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
You too. Thank you so much, Peter.
Take it easy, doll. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.